No, I'm not from Auckland. Even though they've changed the name, I'm from South Auckland. It's very different. anyway, we are grateful that you've invited us. Well, Talia did. You probably didn't have much choice. But Talia invited us, and Jackie and I spent our summer placement when we were studying at Kerry in 2000 and long time ago, five, at Stratford Baptist. So we used to come over to New Plymouth on Monday on our day off, because there wasn't a lot to do in Stratford. No, it was a lovely place, but it's just, you know, I'm a city boy. So we came over. So we love New Plymouth, so thanks for having us and turning on the weather and letting us see the Maunga again. It's great to be here. Hey, you saw a little clip earlier, and obviously you're tuned out of my sermon already because you want to watch the movie. But there was another clip that I want to show you. But just before I do, hands up who remembers the New Zealand version of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? With Suzanne Paul and all of them. Remember that? Yeah. It's a good show. So we're going to show, that was a clip. You're going to get to see a little bit of a clip. And it's got, oh, you'll see the guest arrive, but he's now deceased. But there's going to be some papers and stuff for the children and for the adults to fill out shortly. But just watch this clip to give you a little reminder. But the girls were very excited that he arrived. This is sort of our theme for today is Guess Who's Coming for Dinner. And apparently you guys are doing some Guess Who's Coming for Dinner sometime soon, which I didn't know about, so that's cool. So what I want to do now is I need you adults. You're going to get a piece of paper. And children are going to get your little clipboards. And on your clipboards is two pieces of paper. One is a guest list, so you get to, I'll tell you what to do. And then on the other piece is a blank piece, and you get to decorate a placemat for the table. But what I need is I need a few children to come now and set the table for me. There's some, there's a tablecloth under the table here, and some plates. Yep, come. And some knives and forks and some cups. So if you can all just set the table, that'd be great. There we go. There's a big tablecloth. There we go. Okay, adults, or if you consider yourself adult, or you've got a single piece of paper, I want you to, if you're going to put on a feast, put on a banquet at your house, who would be on your guest list? I want you to write your guest list. If you're going to do a big feast at your house, oh, I had these plates growing up. Cheer. Wondered where they went. So yeah, so all the adults, you write on your piece of paper, if you've got pens, if you haven't, engrave. And children, you as well. You've got a guest list, a party list on your clipboard. So you write on your you go down and see Mum, she's got down there. Write down who you would like to come to your party. Take a few moments to do that. Who hasn't got an invite sheet? All right. How's your list going? Is it filling up? Hard to decide who's coming to the party? Okay. Adults, have you filled out your guest lists? Boy, some people look like they're struggling to fill in their list. Who do I choose? There's only six lines and I want to invite seven people. What do you do? Okay, children, on the other side, you've got another piece of paper on your clipboard, and it's just blank. I want you to design your own placemat that's going to go on the table for later. Okay? So you can colour in, do a picture, do whatever you want on there, and then we'll collect them in at the end. And I'm just going to talk to the adults for a little bit while you do your placemats. Okay? If the adults want to listen. Okay. The table has been set. We're ready to go. Alright? We're ready to go. There's four places set at the table. It's funny, I didn't ask for four, but it's perfect. I'll put, and there's some good food here too, so help yourself later. The table's been set. The guests have been invited. The healthy, the wealthy, the Jewish, educated, male. The guests who signify God's chosen ones. The healthy, the wealthy, the scholarly, Jews. Around the table, the guests sit. The honored Pharisee sitting here. The more honored Pharisee sitting over here. The most honored Pharisee sitting here. The host has his party discussion all planned out. A bit of business discussion to start off. A bit of community discussion. A load of religious discussion. And it's within this religious discussion, within this talk of God's people, of God's community, of God's kingdom, that these impressive scholarly guests will celebrate being a part of it. Will celebrate being part of God's people, part of God's community, part of God's kingdom. To this they will toast. To this they will drink. To this they will party. And as the party continues, party benefits will continue. Party expectations will continue. During this dinner, the links between the who's who in society, the relations between the haves, the in crowd, they will be strengthened. Helping each other up in the community. Helping each other's status in the community. With God's blessing spoken all over it. With religious words decorating it. These people know how to party and eat together. The who's who of society. And they have a one-up on everyone else because they're part of God's chosen people. People, the table has been set and the guests have been invited. Hopefully by now, you've invited the guests. These guests have been carefully selected, as was proven as you thought about who you were going to write down on your piece of paper. So wonderful to be invited to a party, right? Who likes being invited to a party? Yeah, you. Yeah, that's awesome. Who doesn't like being invited to a party? Who hates it when they find out there's been a party and you weren't invited? That really, really sucks. Ooh, can I say sucks here? That's not good. And so, but that's all right. Because we didn't want them to come anyway. Especially that guy from South Auckland. He hangs out with those Jaffas up there. Why would we invite him to dinner? far from this table right here, without an invite, are those who have been carefully uninvited. Uninvited without much thought. Without much, if any, consideration. The sinner, the outcast, the poor, the lame, the foreigner, those littering our streets, sleeping rough, talking rough, living tough, those with empty beer cans all over their front lawns, the ones without religious knowledge, without social sophistication, those who are a drain on society, those who trouble communities and burden families, the poor who provide no social benefit to us. They don't help the church tithes on a Sunday. The poor who provide no reputation enhancement. They don't do anything for me as a pastor walking around with people like that. The people who offer nothing to enhance community promotion, get me a better job. And for this reason, they will never be related with, never receive such an invite, never sit at such a table until the party pooper comes. Who hates the party pooper at a party? Yeah, you got one of those. Hope I'm not your party pooper, because they didn't let you watch all the movie. The party pooper speaks up. This new guest, this new rabbi, this guy Jesus, he's looking around at the table, agitated and frustrated. He probably clears his throat because he's had a sore throat. And he puts his, I'm not claiming to be him. And he puts his glass down after taking a quick drink. And he says these words from Luke. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, sisters or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. These are the words of Jesus because they are written in red. Now I'm a little bit annoyed because I had planned my invitation list, as you have, and Jesus, the party pooper, comes along and decides to include the outcast. He includes the sinner, the drains on society, the burdens, the troubled. The very people not expected there, Jesus expects here. The very individual thought nothing of, Jesus expects so much of. In his mind, the dinner table should look very, very different. And that bothers me. because I don't like inviting people I don't want to dinner, because I want, well, I don't want Kevin Smith to come. But this whole program that we saw was set up on having the celebrity come and dine with. The people that we can look up to and be inspired by, and those things are good for us. It's good to have people to look up to be inspired by. But I'll tell you one thing about my story. I arrived at in 2004 at Mangere Baptist Church as a student. Kerry put us there. Well, they were going to put us on the shore, and I go toxic when I'm on the shore. It's a completely different part of... Oh, no, I love God bless the shore. They were going to put us at the shore at 6 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and we lived in Mangere. I said, as if I'm going to drive over there at that time of the night to get there to run youth, and we'd just done youth for 12 years. And so we saw this little sign. Jackie spotted it on a notice board. God bless the notice boards. And it had palm trees, and we love the Pacific Islands. And so we see palm trees, and we were attracted to, we thought, oh, this might be good. Help a struggling church in Mangere. We're like, we live in Mangere. We lived at a women's refuge in Mangere while we were there. And so we went to the Kerry and said, hey, can we go there? Oh, no, it'd be the worst mistake of your life. Okay, let's go then. We'll go. Okay then, but you're making a big mistake. Yep, sweet as. I get there. I have to admit, I'm being very honest and vulnerable. I get there and I wanted to close the church down, because I'd been at these big, massive churches. And, you know, I was all about the mega church back then. And I walked into this, because there was another congregation using the main auditorium, and we had a little room off to the side. And we have an IHC community, a part of who we are. They're a gift to us. They've been with the church for like 14 odd years. And they used to hand out instruments to everyone, musical or not, and make a joyful noise until the Lord happened. And I was a worship leader trained to be perfect in the eyes of the Lord. And I struggled with this. Stuff rose up in me, and I said, shut this down. This is a disgrace. This is disgusting. You know, in the back, moaning and groaning, because I knew it all, because I was my first year at Kerry. And the Lord just spoke to me, like, as you know, he does to you. I just felt him say to me, well, at least they're worshipping me. Woo! Oh, sorry. That was my first telling off. But then we have a sharing time. And one of our dear ladies, Tracy, gets up to share. And they had just seen the passion of the Christ. And she comes up and she stands there and says that she'd been to the movies. And she's one of the IHC ladies. And as she stands, so what was the movie like, Tracy? And Tracy just, and tears fall down her face. And she says, it should have been me on that cross. And something shifted in me. I realized that I didn't need to have perfect worship. I realized that I didn't need to have celebrities sitting at the table. I realized that I needed who God needed to teach me how to live life. And God, in a sense of humor, at the end of Kerry, sends us back to Mangere Baptist. So, and we're rocking on. So the table looks different for us now. One of the things we do as a family since we've been in Mangere is we realize that there's huge need. I've grown up in South Auckland all my life, and in Mangere there's just massive need everywhere we look. And as Jesus says, the poor will be among you. You know, so it's like we're going to eradicate it. So just we need to learn to live with it and learn to love in amongst it. And so Jackie and I said, what are we going to do? How can we do? We're going to open our house. The church gave us the manse to live in, and we bought this in faith, I guess, this massive dining room table and stuff when we were at Kerry, and we lived in this tiny little place and it was jammed in the corner. But we wanted one day to have a big table where people could come and eat. So on Christmas Day, you know, Christmas Day is the day. It's a tough day for us because we all need to do our family thing and have, we got to go to this family, then you got to rush over to that family, and you got to be to that family because that's just the day of the family. You know, it's just, that's the way it is. You got to go, especially if you're married, you got to go to two families because there's always a breakfast, lunch, and dinner going on. And we realized on that day in our community, there's going to be no one for some people. They're not even going to see another person but the TV. They're not even going to get to have a good meal. So we decided that we would have breakfast with our girls, and if Nan and Pop and them wanted to come and join with us, then that's good. But then, and they can stay on if they want, but lunch. We've had such wonderful Christmases the last 3 years. And we've had family turn up. And we've had 1 year, Jackie's family decided that they would come and stay with us for Christmas. And we're like, oh yeah, meet our community, because they'll be at lunch too. And people just get, you think it's too hard, or you think it's just it's foreign to relate with someone not of your family or not. But conversations would spark, and it was just a wonderful experience for people. And I think, you know, this Christchurch tragedy this week, as I spent most of the week in bed this week, not just me, but because I've been sick. The thing that I realized, and this is a real, I love what the community are doing and the way people are responding, and the generosity is just ridiculous. It's just amazing. Why? Why does it take a tragedy for us to respond like that to our neighbors? Why? Especially us who've read this. Why does it take that? For people to be without a home, for us to respond, oh, you come and stay at my house. If you've got a spare room, use it. Because I tell you what, there'll be people, and you won't have to scratch the surface very far, who are very lonely and very vulnerable in your neighborhood, and just might need a place, a little oasis where they can get back on their feet, gather a bit of courage and strength again, and be able to move on. We've got a front room at our house. It used to be the church office before they had a church office, in the manse. We call it the Jesus. Jesus doesn't stay there, obviously. Well, he does in a way, but we always ask the question, who do you want in the room, Jesus? Who do you want to stay with us? And since we've been in Māngere for 4 years at the church, I think we've probably had, I don't know, 10 or more people in that room for long periods of time. We had one girl last year for a whole year with us. And she was a girl who had a really rough time, and she needed a family environment. And it was hard work. It was hard work for us because we as a family went through some tough stuff. But what were we going to do? Kick her out and say, oh, sorry, we're dealing with our stuff now. Out you go. We said, we're dealing with some stuff. We're not going to be the most gracious people at the moment. So come on the ride with us. It's going to be a bit bumpy, but we'll get there with God's grace. And we've opened our room again. And we've got a friend of ours who's just got out of prison. I picked up the other week. And he's going to come and live with us when they allow him to. It's pretty dodgy going to live with a pastor. He's got to get it all checked off by parole. But we're just going to open our home up, because when I read this, I can't not just see it on a Sunday and preach about it and then expect other people to live it. I have to live it myself. And I guess as I wrap this up, that Jesus is asking us the same thing. He's asking all of us today, how are we gonna live our life? He asked the question, who do you live for? Do you live for your next paycheck? Do you live for your family? Or do you live for him? Because if you read on in that passage in Luke 14, it's some pretty harsh words come after that, where Jesus says the cost of being a follower means that you might not like the family. There might be some clashes happen when you choose to follow this path. And we've known all our family aren't followers of Jesus. But there's costs to following him. It cost him his life. It's cost other people their lives. And I'm not saying go out and martyr yourself. But there has to be a cost in following this Jesus. Something that's going to push you beyond your comfort zone. The question is, who do you live life with? Is it just your church folk? Or is it your neighbours, your community? Do you like to keep in a holy little huddle because it's safe? Or do you need to push those boundaries? For us, we have a lady. She's a Māori lady, beautiful lady. She's had a really rough... She's been on the streets since she was 8. She's a survivor. She would be seen as a drain on society, on all its resources. It's taking a mercy team around her of 4 or 5 people, what I would call able-bodied people, to love this woman back into life. It's hard work. It's painful. It's frustrating. But today, because our service is at 4 o'clock, she's asked if our student pastor who's coming back to preach that we had last year, she's asked if she could stand and give him a welcome back into our building. She's going to lead our opening part of our service. She would never, ever have done that. But people have nurtured and loved her. And it's been hard work. It's cost. That's Leah. Who do you believe God bleeds for? Is a question to ask. And for us, there's another man named Colin. He's a 7. He's actually 81. He's undercover 71, but he's 81. He's a Canadian, Irish Canadian guy. He's an alcoholic. He's a grandfather to our girls. The society write him off as a drunken bum. But he's an amazing artist and a poet. And he comes sometimes into church and he'd be drunk and we have to deal with that. But he's lonely. He's got a family who have abandoned him. He has no one else but his bottle. And what are we going to be to him? Because God died for him. Jesus gave his life for Colin so that he could have life. People... I want to encourage you this morning that this lifestyle would be a lifestyle that would shape our personal life. That this lifestyle, this following Jesus, would be a lifestyle that shapes our business lives. That this lifestyle would be a life that shapes our social life. That this lifestyle would be a lifestyle that shapes our voting lives. But most of all, may this lifestyle be a lifestyle that brings us closer to the one who gives us life in all its fullness, Jesus Christ. For the glory of our gracious, generous, and good God. As we finish now, I want to ask you to revisit your list. In light of the words of Jesus in Luke 14. Some people are going to bring children, you can bring your placemats to me and we'll put them on the table. If you've got your placemat all done, thanks Leah. Guess who's coming for dinner? And adults, you might want to just revisit your list. And you might want to ask the question, who am I going to push the boundary with? Who am I going to reach out to that I'm a little bit nervous? My first choice of guest is not an 81-year-old man. I'm sorry if you're 81. No one's 81. It's not an 81. He is my friend. Now, he is my friend. This lady that has been, she's not my choice of friend. But when we've been away from a holiday, she comes rushing up to give me a big kiss on the cheek and a slap on the butt. Jackie's approved it, it's all right. She's not my first choice of invite, but she's Jesus' choice to me. And I have to look beyond myself and my own desires and say, who do you want, dear? Jesus. Who do you want to dine with us? And I want you to ask yourselves as a church, who in your neighborhood do you want to invite? And it might not be to your house. Go to them first. Go and hang out. Men, go and support some young kids who don't have dads at sports games. Go, just go and be available for your neighbors. Love like Jesus loved. Love till it hurts, because it cost him his life. There has to be a cost for this following of Jesus for us. We have to ask, what is it going to be? And we count that cost. So we've got placemats. Are there any more placemats coming? And I think some people are going to bring morning tea to here. How's your revisiting of your list, people, or are you too scared to pull them back out? It's all right. It's not a judgment sermon at all. It's just a little challenge for us. Because I've got my birthday coming up this week on March the 2nd. And I know I would like to invite a certain group of people birthday. But then I realise that some miss out. And that's going to be the case. There's going to be times where that is. We have inclusive and exclusive dinners in our community. That's naughty, eh? There's times where we just have family dinner. It's important to nurture our own family. But there's time where we make Jackie, she says, just eat more for someone else. And we'll just drop a meal to someone, or we'll do what we can. Don't feel judged by your list, but just be challenged and ask Jesus, who do you want us to have at our home? How can we serve you more, Lord? Morning tea's going to come, and then I just want to share with you one last little thing. Thank you, children, for your lovely placemats. They're pretty cool. I like this one. That's cool. Here comes morning tea. This is always a good thing. Food is good. Do you notice that most things that happen, it was always around food in the Bible. Food's a really good thing. Everything we do in Māngere is around food. We have a dinner after our service at 4 every week. So everyone just brings whatever they would normally bring. And there's often it looks like that. And there's this, and we go, whoa, Lord. And everyone gets enough. It just works. There's no rosters or anything. We just do it. And we eat together. When we have prayer meeting, we always eat and pray. I've been trying to lose weight. It's not working. Maybe it's that reason. But food's an important part of doing life. And I want to read some things to you as I wrap up from Andre now. And it's his talk about communion. And for us at Māngere, communion is food. It is this whole meal. It's more than just a wafer and a bit of sip in a cup. It's more than that. And so I just want to share these last things and then pray. When we gather around the table and eat from the same loaf and drink from the same cup, we are most vulnerable to one another. When we break bread together, we leave our stuff at the door and enter into a place of mutual vulnerability and trust. God invites vulnerable people to come together and share a meal. When we break bread and give it to each other, fear vanishes and God becomes very close. When we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy and closeness. When we say, help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass. We offer our guests not only our food and our drink, but also ourselves. And a spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another. In the most complete and perfect way, this happens when Jesus gives himself to us through communion. By offering us his body and blood, Jesus offers us the most intimate communion possible. It is divine communion. Communion is a place where Jesus becomes most present to us, because he becomes not only the Christ living within us, but also the Christ living among us. Just as the disciples at Emmaus, who had recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread, discovered a new intimacy between themselves and found the courage to return to their friends, we who have received the body and blood of Jesus will find a new unity amongst ourselves. As we realize that Christ lives within us, we also come to realize that Christ lives among us and makes us into a body of people, witnessing together to the presence of Christ in the world. As we share morning tea this morning together, may we remember that as we eat together, something grows as you share life. And I guess one little test for you, as we're going, well, I don't know who to start with, I don't know who to invite. Often when anything significant happened around with Jesus, it says, and he was moved with compassion. If you look at someone in your neighborhood and you feel something shift in your spirit, in your heart, then respond. Respond to it and go and offer that person generosity and love. Thank you for having me. God bless you, you wonderful bunch of people. God bless.